Dear brothers and sisters, tonight inshallah we'll have the second part of our lecture, the model parent, and it is basically talking about the model that Luqman rahimahullah provides for all parents inshallah to follow. In part one we talked about Luqman, that he was a righteous scholar, wise scholar, and there is no evidence that he was a prophet. We told that that Luqman was described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is a servant of wisdom, or a person of wisdom, which draws our attention to the importance for having certain qualifications and qualities for both educators and parents. We talked about hikmah, we defined the hikmah, and we commented on the first piece of instruction for Luqman, and that is the command for his son to abstain from committing shirk. And we said that this is the foundation and the source of everything that is good, to establish the tawheed and to abstain from committing the shirk. And we mentioned that Luqman did not only commanded him to stay away from shirk, rather he clarified for him the rational reasoning behind this prohibition, that it is a great zulm. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. And we talked a lot about the shirk, and how it is the most grave sin in Islam. And then we talked about the second ayah, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us to be kind and nice and faithful to our parents. And inshallah tonight we will continue commenting on these beautiful verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the tongue of Luqman, Ya bunayya innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardalin fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fi al-ardi ya'ti biha Allah inna Allah latifun khabir. O my dear son, indeed if there be anything the weight of a mustard seed, and if it be hidden in a rock, or in the skies, or in the earth, Allah will bring it forth. Indeed, Allah is ever subtle in His wisdom, all aware. Now, after these instructions, Luqman realized that the best tool that would ensure the application of these instructions is that he implanted in the heart of his son muraqabatullahi azza wa jal, the awareness about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him all the time. So because we may give a lot of instructions, we may tell our children do this and don't do that, do this and don't do that. But if they don't have the self-motivation, if they don't have the inner drive that would drive them to do what is right and stay away from what is wrong, then what is the use for all these instructions? So it's very important to implant that engine. That engine will drive them to do and fulfill the commands and abide by the instruction, because if they have this seed of muraqabah, of the constant awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them all the time, and know every thought, even the most inner thought of the person. If they have this, then they will stand as guard for their own selves, protecting their own iman. And this tool of al-muraqaba will remind them any time they slip into heedlessness, and it will be a protector for them from erring and swerving away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, Luqman was telling his son, "Oh my son, know that the bad deed or the good deed, no matter how small it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. Whether it be in the bottom of a mountain or in the bottom of the deepest ocean or wherever it may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it forth on the day of judgment when He set up the scales for accountability. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. That we will set the scales of justice on the day of resurrection, and no soul will be deprived of justice. No soul will be dealt with in an unjust way. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said also in another ayah, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever works the equivalent of an ant weight of good will find it on the day of resurrection, and whoever works the equivalent of an ant weight of evil will find it, which will be there in his scales on the day of resurrection, because nothing escapes the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, he has given him a tangible illustration for the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to implant in his heart the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you all the time, and whatever you do, whatever thought that may come across to your mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. And this is how we can, as educators or as parents, implant the seed of al-muraqaba in the hearts of our children. Remind them over and over again that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Because we cannot be with our children at all times, and therefore it is of utmost importance that they be self-motivated, and they will have the firm belief that would drive them to do what is right and stay away from what is wrong. So al-muraqaba is something that is most important, and it is a basic key ingredient for a successful upbringing of our children. Ibn al-Qayyim said, defining al-muraqaba, al-muraqabatu هي دوام علم العبد وتيقنه باطلاع الحق سبحانه وتعالى على ظاهره وباطنه. He said that muraqaba is the constant knowledge of the servant and his certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of his outward actions and inner thoughts. Fully aware of him, fully aware of what is in his heart, what comes across his mind. Another scholar, he defined muraqaba that it is al-muraqabatu hiya mulahazatu al-raqib wa insirafu al-hammi ilayh. He said al-muraqaba is to regard the one who is watching you, to regard him, to regard the one who is watching you and dedicate all your concern towards Him and the fact that He is watching you. So this is something that very important. When our children have this tool of al-muraqabah, this seed of al-muraqabah, then they will learn and train themselves to examine their intention before they do something. And when they do something, they will continue to monitor their intention, whether they are doing something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, when they have this inner monitor inside of them, if for one reason or another they are tempted to commit what is haram or what is a sin, this will deter them from, when they remember that, oh, Allah is watching me, they will stay away from this sinning. And also it will keep them in check, in a sense that they will not be wasting time that is supposed to be filled with something that is more beneficial. So they will feel the responsibility that, I am a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm entrusted with this time, and Allah is watching me. And therefore, this will cut off the waste of time from their life. That is, if we properly planted the seed of muraqabah. And it's important for us to know how to implant this seed of al-muraqabah. And of course, the best is and the most important, that we lead a life that will teach our children al-muraqabah in a practical way. Because if the children see how sensitive the father and the parents are toward sinning, toward doing something that is displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they will learn al-muraqabah in action. They will learn it from a model. So this is something that is very important. The most important requirement for this muraqabah to be established well in the hearts of our children, or one of the ways one of the ways that would enhance the muraqabah is their knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without a doubt, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing the qualities of Allah, knowing the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim said that وَالْمُرَاقَبَةُ التَّعَبُّدُ بِاسْمِهِ الرَّقِيبِ الْحَفِيظِ الْعَلِيمِ السَّمِيعِ الْبَصِيرِ فَمَنْ عَقَلَ هَذِهِ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَتَعَبَّدَ بِمُقْتَضَاهَا حَصَلَتْ لَهُ الْمُرَاقَبَةِ. He said that muraqaba is nothing but to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bearing in mind the meaning of these most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: Al-Raqib, the All-Watcher; Al-Hafiz, the Ultimate Preserver; Al-Alim, the All-Knowing; Al-Sami', the All-Hearing; Al-Basir, the All-Seeing. He says, whoever understands these names and comprehend their meaning and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bearing this understanding in his mind, will eventually develop this muraqabah, this knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware about me, whatever I do, whatever I think. This is one of the ways that helped us, inshaAllah, develop this muraqabah in us. The second way, and we are talking about a way that would help us, inshallah, develop this important tool in the hearts of our children. The first way is to teach them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the meaning of His names and attributes. And the second is قَطْعُ أَشْغَالِ الْقَلْبِ الدُّنْيَا عَلِ الْقَلْبِ, which means that to cut off the distraction, worldly distraction from the heart. Nowadays, there are a lot of distractions. Distractions that are invading our homes. TV is becoming a very big distraction. Internet is becoming a very big distraction. Video games, PlayStations, you can name a lot of things, and people are becoming more and more innovative in taking advantage of every time available to the children and to the parents, and they are using they are trying to get the attention of people. So it requires understanding and awareness and knowledge about the purpose of this life, that we are not created for this dunya, rather we are created for the akhirah, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to take from the dunya what suffices us, what helped us in accomplishing the goal of this purpose, that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One third way that would help us develop this al-muraqabah in the hearts of our children is to teach them about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if people know how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, if the heart is aware and conscious conscious of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conscious of the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His magnificence, this will generate hayah, bashfulness in the heart, where the heart will not dare or have the desire to do something that would anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that is also important. Another way is to talk about the akhirah, about what awaits the believers after their death, about the grave, about the day of judgment, about the sirat, about the hellfire, about jannah. And this requires this develop the urgency of urgency for preparation for the hereafter. So these are some of the ways that may help us. And here Luqman has not only taught the son about the knowledge of Allah, or one of the qualities of Allah, he brought to him a tangible example. Tangible example, which is something very will be very understood by him. He told him, "Ya bunayya, innaha intabu mithqal habbatin min khaddarin, fatakun fi sahratin aw fi samawati aw fi al-ardi yati biha Allah, inna Allah latifun khabir." Oh my dear son, indeed, if there be anything the weight of a mustard seed, or if it be hidden in a rock, or in the skies, or in the earth, Allah will bring it forth. Indeed, Allah is ever subtle in His wisdom, all aware. So he gave this tangible example, and tangible examples are very important for our children. Here is a very beautiful story that shows the importance of this having al-muraqabah, having the self-motivation. Because you cannot keep dragging your children to do things. You cannot keep forcing them to do things. Rather, they need to stand on their own, and they need to have self-motivation. And this can only be done when they have the strong iman and this belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال عبد الله بن دينار خرجت مع عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه إلى مكة فعرسنا في بعض الطريق. He said, Abdullah ibn Bina said, we set out with Umar ibn al-Khattab to Mecca, and in the way we stayed in a rest area. فانحدر عليه راع من الجبل. And thereupon a shepherd descended from the mountain, was coming down from the mountain. فقال له يا راعي بعني شاة من هذه الغنم. And he told him, Umar told the shepherd, sell us one of these sheep. And فقال إني مملوك, I am slave, meaning I cannot sell you the sheep because it is not part of my property. فقال كل سيدك أكلها الذئب. He told him, why don't you tell your master that the wolf ate the sheep. فقال فأين الله. Said, so what about Allah? Where is Allah then? Where is Allah then? See, this is a shepherd, but a believer. Shepherd, and Umar was testing him, and he passed the test. And when Umar radiallahu anhu heard this answer from that shepherd, فَبَكَى Umar. He started weeping. ثُمَّ غَدَى إِلَى الْمُمْلُوكِ فَاشْتَرَاهُ مِنْ مَوْلَاهُ وَأَعْتَقَهُ وَقَالَ أَعْتَقَتْكَ هَذِهِ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا هَذِهِ الْمَلَكَ الْكَلِمَةِ وَأَرْجُوا أَنْ تُعْتِقَكَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. He told him, he went and bought him and set him free for the sake of Allah, and he told him, this word that you said, فَإِنَ اللَّهِ, has caused or set you free in this life, and I am hoping that it will set you free in the hereafter. So this is what we need. We need our children with firm iman, firm faith, so they will be self-motivated. We cannot be with our children all the time. At one time we are going to depart, to leave, to die. So if we don't leave them with a self-sustaining iman, then they will depart from this deen the moment we depart from them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded by two most beautiful names, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subtle in His wisdom, all aware. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ. Latif has more than one meaning, which revolve around knowing the details. Number one, knowing the details and the precise, the details of things in precision, and bestowing or giving, granting these the benefits and the bounties to the people in a kind and compassionate manner. And also Latif also part of its meaning that shows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with people with easiness, and He makes things very easy for them in a subtle manner. So people may receive many bounties that from where they, from ways that they never expected. Now, al-khabir also related to knowledge, which is, but it is al-khabir as a word is more powerful than alim. More powerful because it requires more details, knowledge about things and awareness about things. So the bottom line is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most perfect knowledge about the realities of things. and about the most about the most about the most extensive details about them in precision, in precision. So again, this ayah, in this ayah, Luqman was implanting the seed of al-muraqaba that would ensure for him that he will heed to this the instruction he said and the other instructions. Then Luqman, rahimahullah, he says, يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانهى عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور. O my dear son, be constant in prayer and pray properly, and enjoin the doing of what is right and forbid the doing of what is wrong, and bear in patience whatever ill may befall you. All this indeed are matters which requires firm resolution. Now, after establishing, yani commanding him about the Tawheed, commanding him about being kind to his parents, being faithful towards him, showing gratitude towards Allah and towards his, and then towards his parents, and planting the seed of the muraqaba in him, he has the first yani command related to worship was his advice to him or reminder about the importance of the prayer. Aqim al-salah. Ya bunayya, aqim al-salah. Establish the prayer. Aqim al-salah, it is different than salli. He did not tell him salli. He told him aqim al-salah. Aqim al-salah means establish the prayer. Pray constantly and properly. Pray in compliance with the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, and pray with humbleness, outward humbleness and inner humbleness. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with khushu' and khudu', praying properly and meeting the etiquettes of prayer is iqamatul salah. So he is telling him, and this shows that he realized that the most important obligation that he need to stress on in his speech to his son was the prayer. Ya bunayya aqim as-salah. O my dear son, establish the prayer. So it is you know, he first of all, he told him la tushrik billah, do not commit shirk. He ordered him away to stay away from things, and now he is giving him or ordering him to engage in things like aqim al-salah. So he instructed him to stay away from the source of all evil, and then he instructed him to engage in the most beneficial action that can make him strong and powerful, and be able to meet the challenges that is going to face him as a believer, as a person who live in this life and pursue a mission. Ya bunayya aqim as-salah, in a very kind and compassionate manner, he is reminding him of salah. Salah is the link of the person, the link between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a link from which we can derive our strength, and it is a station that can supply us with taqwa. And see, he is wise, right? He is wise, and the fact that he started with salah from the ibadat shows his wiseness, because if our children are brought up knowing the importance of the salah, appreciating the virtue of the salah, and brought up trained to pray properly, make iqamatul salah, then that's it. That's it. This is the most important task. That's it, because this salah will take care of the rest of the matters related to the worship of the person. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْهُ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ فَإِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِ. That the first thing that the son of Adam is going to be questioned about on the day of resurrection is his prayer. If it is found in order, then the rest of his deeds will be found in order. So the fact that he started with the salah shows yani how shows that yani the aspects of the wisdom that he was granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. And enjoin the doing of what is right, and forbid the doing of what is wrong, and bear in patience whatever ill may befall you. All this indeed are matters which require firm resolution. Now he is planting in him a seed of responsibility, feeling responsible. And this is something very important for us to make our children feel responsible and develop this sense of responsibility, because it is something that is this feeling, the responsibility is something that is required in accomplishing any task. So if you want them to be successful in accomplishing tasks, in meeting goals, in building their lives, in building their community, in providing or contributing to the community in which they live, we need to develop the sense of responsibility in them. And here he is commanding him to take a positive attitude, not to be passive, not to see the an opportunity to enjoy good and leave it, and not to see the evil committed and not care about it. Rather, he is building in his character this sense that no, it matters, and that I have a responsibility that I can meet, and have to be part of the solution, and have to be a reformer. I have to change. I have to change people. So he feels that I am responsible towards other people, and this enjoining good and forbidding evil is very, very important obligation, because it is the safety valve in every community. If it is not there, then people are will be about to receive the punishment of Allah while they don't know. Because this is what always rectify the direction of people whenever they start to swerve away from the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no people, no one to enjoin good and forbid evil, and people feel indifferent about others, whether they do good or they do bad. The whole community is threatened. And all of you remember the beautiful example that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given, and it is about some people who drew lots to see who will be in the upper deck of a ship and who will be in the lower deck of the ship. And those who were in the lower part of the ship, they used, in order for them to get water, they used to go up, and they used to feel that they are bothering the people who are in the upper deck of the ship in order to bring water from the river in which they were like traveling. And some of them said, why don't we, in order not to bother those people who are above us, dig a hole in the bottom of the ship so that we can get the water directly from the river. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the people who occupy the upper deck will leave them to do whatever they were planning to do, all of them will be destroyed, all of them will be drowned. And if they will prevent them from doing that, okay, then this yani will save, everybody will be saved. This is an example that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to us that illustrate the importance of enjoining good and forbidding evil. It is to tell people that all of you are aboard one ship. If you don't care about the sin of the sinner, this sin of the sinner at one point is going to come back at you and harm you. And therefore you better enjoin good and forbid evil. So here Luqman is introducing to his son to his social responsibilities, to his responsibility towards the individual, the individuals of the community in which he lives. He is basically making him carry a mission. This is your mission in life. Your mission is that it is. This mission is that of reform. And when we succeed in making our children have this sense of responsibility and bear a mission in life, this is their path to falah, success. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Asr, والعصر إن الإنسان في خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. So the success of people, it depends on four qualities that revolve around salah and islah. Salah is to have personal piety, personal righteousness, and islah is to engage in calling others to righteousness. If we have one and not the other, then we will be putting ourselves at risk, because Islam look at the people as a whole, that they are like one body. They have to care about each other and they have to be responsible towards each other. طيب. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَى عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ, and bear impatience towards bear impatience whatever ill may befall you. Why he is telling him this after telling him enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil? Because whoever assume the responsibility of enjoining good and forbidding evil, he is to suffer, he is to most likely suffer from the harm of people. Why? Because when you are enjoining good and forbidding people, you are instructing people, or you are encouraging people to do that which is against their own heart, against their own desires, against their own whims. Okay, and this is, they don't like, the people don't like somebody to tell them to do something that is against their hawa. And people, some of them are weak, some of them are powerful. So those who are powerful and who have a powerful hawa that is at risk, that may threaten their way of life, they are going to inflict harm on those who enjoin good and forbid evil. And therefore he gave him this instruction to prepare him. Listen, enjoin good and forbid evil, but be ready. Be ready to be harmed, and if you are to be harmed, you need to bear impatience, persevere. Okay? So and have the willpower and the self-discipline so that you don't act in reaction to the harm that may receive you in a way that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, you should bear the harm and persevere. Now, if our children assume the duty of enjoining good and forbid evil, they will be moving in the right direction. But if they don't persevere, they will stop. So this second reminder is to ensure that he is going to continue in the task that he is reminding him of. So enjoin good and forbid evil, and be steadfast and persevere and continue. Okay, subhanallah. So by perseverance, this is an ensures the continuity of performing the task of enjoining good and forbidding evil. And subhanallah, if you note here, he first of all he told him, Ya bunayya aqim as-salah, establish the prayer, and then he told him, wa'mur bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkari, and then he said, wasbir ala ma asaba, because salah enhances our iman and drive us to do what is good. So, but again, if we are driven to do what is good and then we are faced by an obstacle, there are two situations here. Either we give up, and this means that all our righteous actions will be halted, or to persevere and continue and be steadfast and be consistent. And this is what every Muslim should do, and these are the principles that Luqman was raising his son upon. Now, and people cannot really live without this quality, perseverance, unless one is planning to isolate himself on the top of a mountain or somewhere else, and yet he cannot live without perseverance, because he has to suffer other things. Okay, he has to persevere against other factors. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "الذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على أذاهم أفضل من الذي لا يخالط الناس ولا يصبر على أذاهم." The one who lives in the midst of people, the one who interacts and interacts with people and endure with patience against the harm that he may receive from them, is better than the one who does not do that. Again, when he has commanded him to do this, يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ, he is instructing him to deal with a very positive way towards any incident that may face him in this life. Now, if we want our children to achieve something in their life, if we want them to accomplish something big, then we cannot afford not to teach them these principles. Okay, these principles to be part of the society and to contribute in a positive manner towards the goodness of that society. Inna dhalika min azmi al-umur. All this indeed are matters that require firm resolution. It requires exerting our efforts, and it requires mujahadatul nafs. It requires resisting whatever hardships that we are facing, because all of these things, salah and amr bil ma'ruf and nahi al munkar, and the calamities that may face the person really are serious issues. Salah and praying five times a day, and trying to perfect this prayer is a very, very huge and important task. Many of us, if we don't feel the heaviness of this task, this is a sign that our prayer has become very mechanical. It's easy just to pray, but to have the prayer that would be the source of our power, the source of our strength, and a prayer that yields benefits and fruits from which we can enjoy, is something that is hard and requires jihadness. Now, then he tells him, now let's go back. We see that subhanAllah, if you go a little bit back, you find that these set of reminders are comprehensive, because they address, they build a balanced character that consider all aspects, consider the aqidah aspect, the creed aspect, consider the ibadah aspect, consider the akhlaq aspect and the adab aspect. So basically, and not this only, like when we tell him about stay away from shirk, if people understand what shirk is and people really avoid all forms of shirk, now this is the true establishment of tawheed, which in itself is the basis of everything that's good. So every piece of info, of advice include under it many good things that will be developed as a result in the character of this person or this child. Then he says, وَلَا تُسَعْرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. And do not turn your cheek away from people in arrogance or in false pride. And do not walk arrogantly on earth, for indeed Allah does not love anyone who is self-deluded and boastful. Allahu Akbar. Now, a reminder about kibr, about arrogance. Do not be arrogant. Do not belittle people. Do not turn your cheek away from people while you are speaking to them or while you are spoken to by them in arrogance. And do not belittle them, rather deal with them in a kind way and receive them with a cheerful face. And this is something that is important, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِيقٍ. Do not belittle any good and righteous deed, even meeting your brother with a smiley face. This smile is an act of charity. It is sadaqa. It is an act of worship for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward people. So وَلَا تُصَعَرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Do not turn your cheek away from people in false pride. وَلَا تَنْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا. Do not walk arrogantly on earth. Do not just walk showing off or boasting, rather rather walk in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love anyone who is self-deluded and boastful. Kibr or arrogance, boastfulness are the worst among the worst characteristics. And here Luqman is warning his son from having these characteristics, because these characteristics are blameworthy. They are bad in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people hate these characteristics. What kibr is? Al-kibr, what is kibr? Kibr is something that is condemned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has defined kibr. He said, Al-kibru bataru al-haqi wa ghamtu al-nas. Kibr is the rejection of the truth, and it is belittling of people. So belittling people, degrading people, disgracing people, rejecting the truth is what defines a kibr. And you know that this is the sin that caused Iblis to be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to bow down to Adam, he was too arrogant to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, "Ana khayrun minhu," I am better than him. So yani, this is like instruction for us to stay away from the attitude that "Ana khayrun minhu." This is the characteristic that drove Iblis to protest against the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protest against the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who Iblis is? He's a creation of Allah. And this characteristic drove him to go to willfully rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, some of our scholars, they say kibr is even worse than shirk. You know, kibr is something bad and shirk is something bad. But some scholars, they say that kibr is worse than shirk. You know, inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive the shirk that people commit. And this shows how grave the sin of shirk is. But still, kibr is worse. Why? Because kibr or arrogance is abstinence from worship. You don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. One is too proud to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, too arrogant to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While shirk is worshipping Allah and worshipping someone else. This is why it is some scholars consider even worse than kibr. And this is why in the Quran you find in many places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Jahannam that it is the dwelling of al-mutakabbirin, the arrogant one. And he said in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَلْبِ مُتَكَبِّرٍ جَبَّارٍ, showing that Allah seals the heart of those who are arrogant. And to show how grave this sin is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. No one who has in his heart the equivalent of an atom weight of arrogance will enter paradise. This is how grave it is. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us something tangible, because the Sahaba, some of the Sahaba thought that wearing beautiful clothing or beautiful shoes or shiny shoes or something that we like is a part of arrogance. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined arrogance. It is the rejection of the truth. So if people reject the truth, even if it comes from a mouth of a child, this is This is considered kibr, because the truth eventually is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is, we are rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if this come in by the tongue of a child. Now, when Luqman instructs his son to stay away from arrogance, in several sentences, they all revolve around arrogance, boastfulness, and having false pride. All of these things, okay? When he is telling him to stay away from all forms of arrogance and being boastful, what does it mean? If the person is not arrogant, what he is or what she is? Humble. So because this is like day and night. If the person is cleansed from all traces of arrogance, then he is humble. So this prohibition or this reminder implies that be humble. Do not be arrogant, rather be humble. Even though this is something that is not explicit, but it is implicit. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the humble servant, as he said here, وعباد الرحمن, the servants of the most gracious, are those who walk on earth humbly. You see, he told him ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا, do not walk arrogantly. And here he said يمشون على الأرض هونا, they walk humbly on earth. So they walk with tranquility, with respect, and with dignity and humbleness. So we know now what arrogance is. Can we define what humbleness is? What humbleness is? It's opposite to arrogance. Now, if arrogance is rejection of the truth and belittling people, humbleness is submitting before the authority of the truth, yielding completely to the truth, regardless of the source of that truth, submitting and yielding completely to the truth, and honoring people, giving people their due right. This is what humbleness is. Now, inshallah, inshallah, we'll continue here. It seems that we are going to have a bonus part. This is part one, part two, and there is a bonus part, inshallah. So 1 hour is enough, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We'll conclude inshallah next week. If you have any question or comment or correction, please go ahead. Again, really, if we look closely, closely and examine these verses, they include a comprehensive outline for the important guidelines of bringing up our children. Subhanallah, that deals with the aspect of aqidah, akhlaq, suluk, our tazkiyah, self purification, and adab. And this is amazing, and this is part of the beauty of the Quran, that it's only few verses, maybe 5 or 6 verses, but very powerful, very meaningful, and provide a source of a wealth of information and helpful tips for those who seek the guidance of the Quran. Yeah. Do you have any?
Yes.
Go ahead.
From the quote from Imam Al-Qayyim rahimahullah in that he offered up the works of Allah bearing in mind the law of the sea and Hafi and Hafi and Hafi and
السميع العليم البصير الحفيظ الرقيب. Five, right? I think so. الخبير. Okay. يعني both اللطيف and خبير relate to knowledge. However, when it comes to خبير, it is a more powerful word because it involves extra knowledge. Knowledge about a comprehensive and detailed and precise knowledge about the matter at hand. Now, from linguistic point of view, الخبرة أبلغ من العلم لأنها علم وزيادة. خبرة, خبير is from خبرة, and خبرة is knowledge plus. So it's something, a meaning that is more comprehensive than knowledge. فالخبير بالشيء من علمه وقام بمعالجته وبيانه وتجربته وامتحانه فأحاط بتفصيلاته بتفاصيله الدقيقة وألم بكيفية وصفه على الحقيقة. So الخبير, the one who has this quality is the one who has a comprehensive knowledge of all the details of that matter in precision, okay, and knows the modality of the reality of that matter in details. Okay, this is from linguistic point of viewpoint. So al-khabir, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who knows what happened, what's happening, what's going to happen, what is not happening, if it is to happen, how it will happen, and he knows the reality of matters in a comprehensive manner, okay, without a prior ignorance, okay, a knowledge that is not preceded by any ignorance. Now, so all of them, Latif, Al-Khabir, and Al-Ani, related to knowledge, but address different aspects or level of knowledge. So, you have something? Okay. I mean, children are commanded to obey their parents, but the style that we, the style of Luqman teaches us that in most cases, because I'm saying in most cases, because there are certain commands that we follow without knowing their rational reasoning or their wisdom, even though we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not legislate them without wisdom or a purpose. But we don't know the purpose of that. So from the style of education of Luqman, we learn that it is good. It is good educational practice to give the instruction plus the clarification for the wisdom and reasoning for it. The example is لَا تُشْرِكْ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is one example. Another example, وَخْفِضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَنِيرِ. Same thing. We'll talk about, we'll address this inshaAllah. So in this, and there are many examples from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, تسحروا فإن في السحور فتحسحروا فإن في السحور بركة. Have the pre-dawn meal, for indeed there is a blessing in that meal. So there is an instruction and there is a clarification for the rational reasoning for it, or for the wisdom behind it. It is important because this gives added incentive for the people to follow. Okay. However, at the same time, we learn that yani, when it comes to our deen and the rules of the regulations that we follow, not all of them comes with specification for their wisdom, but we follow them anyway. Why we follow them anyway? Because our reasoning implies that since we believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the truthful messenger of Allah, and we believe this in this through our reason, okay, and through the evidences that we have witnessed from him, then our reasoning leads us to follow all his commands. Now those for which he clarified a wisdom, and those for which he did not mention any wisdom and reason. But we know that they have wisdom and reason because they are the source of these rules and regulations is Allah, and Allah is Al-Alim, Al-Hakim. So yani all the legislations and the actions of Allah are based on wisdom, knowledge, mercy and justice. Now, can somebody help me reading this? Did you get the answer, inshallah?
Yeah, so there's always a clarification component, but it could be...
It's good. What I'm saying that sometimes the parents need to teach the children, you follow me, you trust me. Not every time you can clarify a reason for your children. There are certain things that are beyond them.
Right.
So you train them to obey you, to trust you, because sometimes... there is certain that they don't understand, and if they don't trust you, they like, for example, you tell them, don't if a stranger came to you and gave you some sweet, don't take it from there, just stay away from him.
Right.
They may not understand why. I mean, this sweet, come on. Okay, especially if you're at young age. So in this you need to develop, trust me. No, there are certain, you cannot go into even though you could, but
right. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This question is from the sister side. What advice do you have when children become teenagers? Their parents have, inshallah, taught them the responsibilities in the deen, but as teenagers, they want their independence, test their elders, and find their own identity.
May Allah help you, sister, because I'm passing through the same problem. Is my son here? Or he's not here? He's not here?
He's in the back.
He's not in the back. Okay, so I can speak freely, inshallah. This is a very difficult age for the children. And I'll say this frankly, that it all depends on the early time. Okay? have we neglected our duty when they were early, the young children, or not? This is a difficult age anyways, but if we really paid attention to them when they were young, and we, because they pass through this formative age where you can form them the way you want. So did you take advantage of that, or this or not? And this is, by the way, a reminder for those of us who have younger children to really not neglect their duty toward them, because the matter will become more difficult if we neglected our duty. First of all, we need to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the advice. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them, and because their hearts are in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who can direct their heart in the direction that He wants. So we need to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, when your children grow, you need to grow with them in a sense that you need to change your style, not to address them the same manner that you used to address them when they were little children. And this means you need to address their reasoning ability. You need to educate them. And education is very important, because independence, what do we mean by independence? And if we want to be free, what is the line? Where are we going to stop? Okay, free could mean anything. Freedom in the absolute sense is not available anywhere on earth. Is there any place in which you see freedom in the absolute sense? In the absolute sense. Okay. So there is no place in which there is there is always restrictions. There is red lines. There is no-nos. There is many things. So, and therefore, we know that we have to draw the line somewhere. Now, who best can draw this line? Is it a human being or Allah Rabbul Alameen? So they need to understand that these restrictions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn. Now, if we are imposing other restrictions, I think we need to ease on them. Okay? And I hope he is not here. But if the restrictions that you are imposing are the same ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us to impose on them, then this will make sense to them. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we can talk about the true sense of freedom. The true sense of freedom is when we set ourselves free from any enslavements other than that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the true sense of freedom. When we free ourselves from our desires. This is a whole subject that we need to handle with care when it comes to our teenager children. Because if we are always yielding to our desires, this is not freedom, this is not independence. We are falling into the slavery of certain bad habits. So it requires education, it requires knowledge, it requires that you address their reasoning ability. Again, kindness, we are learning from kindness is very important, because the manner in which Luqman addressed his son was very, very kind. So it is a combination of things. But the most important thing is to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
inshallah, to persevere and do your best. This is what we are required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do our best, because sometimes a son of a prophet can be a disbeliever. So we do whatever we can do, okay, and then rely on Allah, leave the rest for him. Yeah. Tafadhal.
Young age at 5 or 6, which I think in a previous lecture you said was a very critical age for children.
4, 5, 6, this is considered like the formative age. Formative age.
So how do you teach a child, how do you conceptually get the idea for the child what Allah is? What is Allah?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't see you, then Allah will see you. How do you leave that concept in their head at this young age? Because
there are things that they know, like seeing, they know the meaning of seeing, okay? And all of these things, there are certain things you know. So we start with the simple things, okay? Simple things. Allah sees you, Allah hears you, Allah created you. Allah created me, Allah created everything, the food that we eat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And with the maturity and the development of the child, these meanings will develop with him, okay, or with her. So they are not going to stay at one age. They keep learning, and this piece of permission that Allah sees me all the time, Allah hears what I say all the time, difficult to comprehend for the children.
The concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah sana'a, it's for them, I find it to be a challenge to get it in their head. If they might think Allah is a creature, they might just wonder or just have
the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everything. Okay? So sama for them it could be not understandable. But they understand that Allah is above everything. But He sees everything. And He knows everything. And He hears everything. So this is not a simple thing. The one time I was passing by a sister was teaching our pre-kids children. I was the principal of that school. And she was teaching them about Al-Qadr and different levels of Qadr. Now Al-Qadr, I told sister, wow, can you teach it? They will not understand anything. But Qadr revolved around Allah created everything. Allah knows everything. Okay? Nothing happens in this world but by the permission of Allah. If Allah allows it to happen, it happens. If He does not, it will not. And since Allah knows everything, Allah has written everything. So these are simple things. You can present it in a very, very simple way. Okay? Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Allah above everything. Okay? Now the concept about and like your child, if he sees a toy, there was some animal that was talking. I asked my child, he's 4 years old, how come he is talking? He didn't bother, this is fake. So he can realize that even though it talks, but it is fake. Okay? Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. We need, inshallah, these are good questions. Maybe we need to bring some specialist to of child development to tell us the concepts that the children can comprehend at each given age group. This is a important workshop for the school though. طيب تفضل يا
أخي.
This is a point that I wanted to know. بارك الله فيك. This is in the course of my answer, I have this point, but I forgot. This is the basis. The whole basis is that you are not to engage in with your children in philosophical debate, and I mentioned this before. Rather, we built on a base. This base is that this child has the fitrah. خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَى. I created my servants upon the pure understanding of Tawheed, pure belief of Tawheed. Okay, so this is the basis. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهِ. So they are created with a natural belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all you need to do two things: to enhance and to cut off the source of evil. If you cut off the source of evil, okay, that is coming from many sources nowadays, okay. If you cut off the sources of evil and then enhance this, it will be great, inshallah. You can, yani, monoperate, and you are good at this, inshallah. Barakallahu feek. أفضل طبعا.
So just to tag on the point that Brother Saleh brought up, I found one of the challenging points that I try to get across to a child is the concept of where is Allah? They don't see Him, and also being faced with the principle of seeing is believing that they come to learn about. This becomes sort of a paradox to them, that I don't see Him, how do you prove His existence? And that's one issue. The other question I had really was, with all the distractions that are present nowadays, and you mentioned about the TV and the internet as ubiquitous forms that intrude into our lives and we have no control over them, how can we provide the alternative to the children? Would it be a good idea to have a daily halaqa or a weekly halaqa inside the house with our kids, so we would educate them about principles relevant to tawheed?
Jazakallah khairan. Let's start from the second question. Yes, the daily halaqa is very important. Providing alternative is very important. Putting control, okay, on the TV. Before, I used to say to people, absolutely no TV. No TV. No TV, absolutely. But the fact of the matter, people are not listening, they're having TVs at their homes, and they're watching. So I feel it's my duty now to say that if you have to watch TV, then number one, be selective. Number one, be present. And number two, be present with them. Number three, if any concept, wrong concept, wrong belief is presented, educate, correct, comment. Don't, your silence is an endorsement for it. Okay? So this is with respect to this guidelines that everybody agrees, and of course this halqa is the best idea that the whole family sit together and read something that is beneficial. Now when it comes to the first one, first of all, seeing is believing. Okay, it's very easy to refute, especially nowadays, because electricity, for example. The people don't see electricity. So, but don't try this with your child. If a child touches a hot wire, he will be electrocuted, and he knows that. Okay, so even though he doesn't see electricity, there are many examples like this. So you can base on it that it's true that when you don't see, you don't believe in it, but if you see evident, clear-cut proofs, then you can conclude. It is a knowledge that will make you witness that which you don't see. Okay, this is something that is very important. So and when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is more obvious than having to like a proof for His existence. Okay, even you see what you can say, this process of questioning is a science of intelligence, right? We say, okay, I don't see your brain. Does it mean that it is not there? No. This process of questioning is asking you questions. This is a science of intelligence, and this intelligence in itself is an evidence that يعني فاقد الشيء لا يعطيه. It's impossible that this intelligence came out of non-intelligence. It's impossible. So you can use this, like especially the atheists who come with all those rational proofs they want to talk about. But again, this is, you are using intelligence and you are saying that this intelligence came from non-intelligence. That does not make sense. So there are many, many things يعني, that we can use in this matter. So with respect to the proof of يعني, for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is one thing, and it's been rare throughout the history of people to have people who deny the existence of Allah. There are people, the conflict between the messengers and their people was were merely mainly revolving around worshipping more than God, than one God, okay, and not and being too arrogant to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it was never the issue that they don't recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people by their fitra and by many evidence tend to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a specific problem, then you have to tailor a specific solution for it. I'm talking in general, but maybe a child was exposed to some literature that caused him to deviate. Okay, in this case you need to tailor a solution for this child. See where his problem, analyze his way of thinking, see where his problem exactly is. If he's denying, then we can talk about the proofs, the details of the proofs, and how, if we say that after a very fierce storm, a pile of wood was smashed against each other, and then came about this beautiful house that you see before your eyes. So this is some of the proofs that, can you believe it? Okay. So it depends on the specific problem. In general, people and children, they will not have a problem in recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even with observing the minimum standard of Islamic teaching, let alone having a good and well thought program at home to teach our children.